I saw what happened with Okada on TikTok. I was in my morning meeting at work and I'm sat watching that in the office. And I'm sat watching it happen and everyone, all Young Bucks and everything. And then I look up and everybody's just sat around staring at me, waiting for me to start the meeting. And I was just sat
You,
watching Okada on my phone.
I was thinking this. So you would have actually. So Dynamite on Dynamite last night. I thought I've not actually watched the full show, obviously. But so I'm gonna watch it after we've done this. Actually, so the opening was Swerve promo, yeah,
Right.
right, which was like sort of building towards him and Joe. But then Wardlow comes out because he's the number one contender, leads to a tag team match. Yeah, so that's an angle at the start of the show. And the middle of the show is the Young Bucks coming out, obviously Kingston coming out and Okada, yeah. And then it ends with Brian confronting Ospreay. And I'm thinking, like, everyone just says AEW is like the show where it's just wrestling, there's no storylines. But you what I watch Raw and it's like, I'm sorry, but on Raw, right? It was okay. But it's like I'm watching Sami Zayn against fucking Ivar, and it's like, no, I'm fucking 18 minutes at night to sit and watch fucking Sami Zayn against Ivar. No offense to him.
The AEW's roster is just stacked. Even the mid card are worth watching the matches against each other. You know, but then you're looking at WWE, and like I say, a Sammy against an Ivar on a Monday night, it's not going to make you tune in. You put on a, you know, an AEW mid card, what, you know, Hobbs against Wardlow in just a match, and you're like, fuck me, I'll tune in for that. And their talent, I think, is just that bit better. Even if the weekly TV isn't that, I wouldn't agree, is not that engrossing. But you've convinced me, because up to Christmas, I'd grown tired of AEW.
Yeah,
And
it
then
was
I'm thinking,
shit.
and yeah. And when they started using the ranking system again, is Wardlow genuine? I ain't kept up with it. Is he genuinely number one on wins and matches, or is he just number one? Yeah, that's what I mean.
I
Because they
don't
said
even
they were
think
going
Tony Khan knows.
yeah, but they said they were going to move back towards that ranking system, and it's
Yeah, it
just,
would.
I don't know. I don't know if it was, if the right at the beginning they said it was going to be sports based, and then I think Tony Khan's just, he's taken over it and he's doing his thing. Even the start of it, Dynamite, you said it was two guys come out for a promo, then two heels turned up, and they said, I'll tell you what, why don't we set up a match for later on tonight? It's WWE all over it. Is Tony Khan going the way of WWE?
No, he was doing. That was why. So you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you about AEW. But you know what, Tebs? This is fucking pissing me off about, right? The Twitter. It's almost like if I didn't have a podcast, I would not go on Twitter to read wrestling thoughts, maybe the news or whatever. Right? It's like I think the WWE fans are worse. I will be honest, I think the worst. You might get AEW fans taking the piss out of like something stupid that happened on WWE, but it's like something great will happen in AEW and they'll pick at the worst thing. And it's like, you know, it's something. So, all right, okay, I'll say this. So Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson at Revolution, yeah. I'll be honest, we are going to get into Revolution in a minute, but I'll be honest, I liked the match, but a lot of people love the match. Like, Neil loved it. I listened to podcasts. They all loved it. I didn't love it. I liked it. Yeah. And then the only thing that's getting picked out of that match on Twitter is Eddie Kingston's punches didn't look great. And it's like, yeah, you can put a clip of 20 seconds of his punches not looking great. But what they don't put is the entire arena standing up as one, chanting for both of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, they won't put that up. And it, I don't know. I feel like, so last year, yeah. Like, it's annoying. You put something nice about AEW on Twitter, yeah, which I'm gonna at the moment because it's fucking been really good, right? And people are like, oh, do you know what I mean? They're like, oh, typical AEW mark. And it's like, what? I'm not an. They're not actually that different, these two shows, believe it or not. And it's like, so basically, 2023, Tebs, you know, all in, I was sat with you going, shit, this. And everyone else loved that show, yeah? The TV, I fucking hate MJF. MJF was shit last year. They brought all this stupid fucking WWE or WWE 2018 bullshit into it, right? And then the pay-per-view at Full Gear was fucking shit. That was crap. The World's End pay-per-view was crap. AEW from September to December was awful, yeah? Right? And since then, like you said, since they tried doing this rankings things, it's not just gonna be bang, a good show, but January. It was watchable. It was good. It wasn't full of shit. February it picked up, and I was sat for this pay-per-view, as you knew, last week on the show, and I was like, do you know what? I'm excited for this show. And then bang, they delivered a great pay-per-view, yeah? And then we just got this. This is what's annoying me, Ted, right? So this is the time, yeah, where I messaged you before about this. If you're like, yeah, WWE, I like WWE, AEW shit. You can't, like, now, what the problem is, yeah, if people see you as shit, yeah, they stop watching. So then AEW shit because it was shit 6 months ago when people was watching. And it takes a while for that to filter through, right? But we've got right now in AEW, it's the perfect time, like, even for you to jump back on. I watch both of them unbiased. I'm trying my best to get into WWE because we're going to WrestleMania, yeah? But right now on AEW, you've got, Tebs, we've got Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson, Okada, Kenny Omega's on his way back on the same wrestling show. Yeah. The four best wrestlers in the world. Sorry, Cody. Sorry, Seth. You're very good. Seth, you're very good.
You're right.
Cody's very good. This is an amazing period where if you'd have said to me or anyone else, 2018, in 6 years' time, Okada's in New Japan, Omega's in AEW, Danielson's in WWE, yeah? Osprey's in New Japan. Those four are all going to be in AEW. I'd be like, what? But then what happens is, when it actually happens, people don't appreciate it because they're too busy looking. They're too busy annoyed that Eddie Kingston's punches didn't look right. They're too busy annoying that Tony Khan's given someone a hug and it's weird. He's not do you know what I mean? I'm fucking sick of it. AEW is great right now. And nobody wanted it to fail as much as I did. I was fuming about all it. I was ready to go. I was tweeting Tony Khan, this is shit. You've ruined it. So for me to then be like 3 months later, yeah, I was wrong. You've turned it round. I wasn't wrong because it was shit. You turned it round and it's very good now. It is. Yeah, so. Yeah, if you're not watching AEW now, fucking watch it.
Right, let me tell you two things.
Fucking Sami Zayn against fucking one of the Viking Raiders. Anyway, sorry, Tebs, go on.
Right, two things. First of all, yeah, I've been off AEW, like I say, for a while, since Wembley. Since that death match, and I keep saying about that, but yeah. And
good match,
that. Fuck you. But then I hear about the ranking system. I'm like, right, I'm gonna try and pick back up into it, keep track of what's going on and start watching when I can. And Ospreay being signed, we knew that he was going, but him turning up and the impact he's made already, and Okada both have made me go, because I was saying to you, I'm going to go to Berlin, bash in Berlin. First time I'm going to go abroad to see wrestling. I'm going to go to WWE in Germany. And them two coming into AEW has made me say, I'm watching it again on telly and I'm getting a ticket for Wembley. But that the power of having those two people for me. Yes, Danielson and Omega, brilliant. But those two coming in and adding to what they've already got, that for me it's turned me around. When you say in terms of WWE versus AEW, there's one thing I wanted to tell you. I was speaking to somebody this week, somebody who I speak to through my job. And I mentioned I was going to WrestleMania. And he goes, oh, wicked, excellent. And he suddenly starts telling me how he collects old memorabilia. And he collects all the figures and old match cards and all this. And I say, oh, right, do you watch AEW? No, I don't really watch that. I'm like, why? He goes, well, it just feels like you should be one or the other, like a football team. And I'm like, people are still living in the 90s where there was actually a war. And they're desperate because, you know how people try to manufacture a good night out? It just doesn't happen organically. Yeah. People try and make it a great night out and it just isn't. There's nothing natural about it. The 90s, the Monday Night Wars, was an organic feud. And people picked their side and somebody won. And that was just, it happened naturally. People now, like the Cody Crybabies and The Rock, they want to be part of a new Yes movement. They want to be part of a Monday Night Wars. There isn't a Monday Night Wars. There's no war. It's two companies that want you to watch their product. They're on at separate times. You can enjoy both. So for people to be slagging one off and concentrating just on botches and stuff, Botchamania is funny. Just saying AEW only does botches. Fuck me, I can tell you how many different clips of WWE can we show every week?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you know why AEW does so many botches? Because on an AEW pay-per-view, on a four-hour show, there's about 3.5 hours of wrestling. And on a four-hour WWE pay-per-view, there's like, do you know what I'm saying? There's just
about
not...
an hour 20, yeah.
If you're wrestling like Takeshita and Ospreay did, there's good... You're not going to wrestle at that pace for 25 minutes and not have something go awry. And it, even when it went awry, it still looked fucking great.
Yeah, because it's natural. But when you talk about people... who was it on... she's been absolutely slated, but she's... One of the new wrestlers on WWE, one of the female wrestlers. And she's getting absolutely slated. She's had about 6 matches. I can't remember that. I can't remember her name.
Maxine Dupri.
Yes. And she's had like...
She's shit.
Right. But she's... No, but she's been slated and she's had about 6 wrestling matches. You know what I mean? And of course, people are going to botch when they're that green. But when you look at AEW, that is developing talent still. You know, and they're going to make botches. But for people to sit on Twitter...
Why? I can't help but laugh because I've watched that. Have you watched the video of that guy to Maxine Dupri?
No, which one?
Have you not seen it?
You're going to make me look at it now, aren't you?
How have I not mentioned, Tebs, right? How have you missed all this? Last week on Twitter, right, it got released a video, right? So this, so Maxine Dupri's walking away from a house show, right? And the video of her walking up the ramp. And some guy goes, "Hey, Maxine! Don't fucking come back, you suck!" Right. But it's not nice, yeah, but it's just fucking wrestling, isn't it, right? But and then, do you know what happens? Rhea Ripley. "Oh, I'd like to see if you guys would have someone at your job tell you you're not very good at it." And then all the other fucking Bel Air women wrestlers come out. Oh, do you know what I mean? Justice for Maxine! I stand by Maxine! Fuck off, it's wrestling. Do you know how many times at wrestling shows have you heard heckling? CM Punk gets heckled. Do you know what I mean? He responds to him. But it's like, it's part of wrestling. Like, oh. I just watched Cody Rhodes, right? Cody Rhodes, I watched, this is why, before Revolution, I'm a fucking moron, right? I watched a four-hour AEW pay-per-view. And the Sunday night, I listened to this other podcast and they were doing like a deep cut on Cody Rhodes' career in AEW. And they made a playlist for it on YouTube and it was 3 hours long. Oh, it was fucking brilliant. But AEW,
I think
you told
me,
So Cody Rhodes is fucking doing this promo where he's like, "Look, he's trying to babyface himself to the crowd, right?" And he's going, "Look, CM Punk said he was going to do all these things on that ramp. I went out and did them for you. I went to New Japan. I helped create AEW for you, the fans." And because he'd been booked that bad, the entire arena's shouting, "Shut the fuck up!" You know, when he's a babyface. And it's like, it's just wrestling, isn't it? Look at Cody now. But, yeah.
Jeez, I tell you what, that, if you think back to that point, when he was literally, the crowd were telling him shut the fuck up, and they wanted him to turn heel and he wouldn't. He'd booked himself into a corner by never being able to challenge for the title in AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
And to go from there back to WWE to be one of the biggest stars of WWE for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
As quickly as he has. Yeah.
It was incredible. Seriously, like the way WWE have handled him so well. But I had the opinion, because I was sort of one of these, fuck WWE, I'm AEW now, right? When he left, I was like, "You fucking little slimy traitor." It'd be like if a North End player fucked off to Blackpool. Actually, they're below us. Fucked off to Burnley. Do you know
Liverpool.
What I mean? Well, I'm being honest with you, yeah. If I was on £20,000 a week at PNE, and Liverpool came in and offered me £20,000 a week and £10, and PNE wouldn't match it, I'd be like, "See you later, Preston. I'm off to go and play for Liverpool." And if I scored in front of them fans at Deepdale, I'd kiss that. Well, I wouldn't kiss the badge. But anyway. But honestly, I need to send you one of these Cody promos. It was amazing. Like, just to watch the difference of him. I was dead against him. But you watch this, and it's like he's begging Tony Khan to just give him the offer to stay. And it's like he cuts this backstage promo, and he actually looks devastated. But it's Cody Rhodes. He's the best worker in history. And by the way, anyone who's like, "Oh, Cody Rhodes, I promise you, will wrestle in AEW again at some point." Fact. I'm convinced. Just like Bryan Danielson will go back to WWE in the next 10 years. But anyway.
You reckon?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think Danielson will.
I do.
So come on then, Revolution.
Revolution. Well, I don't even know. I feel like it's that long ago. It's hard to Sunday night. I stayed up and watched it. Now, the show, I'm not going to go, there's no point. We've gone past the point where I've like going to go into everything. So we started Christian, Daniel Garcia. It was a good opener. That was it. Been a bit overrated. Yeah, we had, I've mentioned before, Kingston versus Bryan. It was like you just typical Danielson, Eddie Kingston match that you would imagine. You know what I mean? It was, as we said, you know, last week, I messaged you, Ted, didn't I, saying, oh, shit. Danielson's pinned Eddie Kingston clean on Dynamite, so it looks like Eddie Kingston's retaining. That was correct. Yeah. So we get, I like Eddie Kingston anyway, so we get to see Eddie Kingston defend ROH title when we
go. We'll see him, won't we? He'll be there. He'll be there at Supercard, won't he?
Yeah, it doesn't honest with you, it doesn't even seem any point in going into this card. It's that far past the point. Osprey Takeshita. I mean, I know you've seen that match. I thought it was fucking incredible. Like, I just love that high risk wrestling. It reminded me, I don't know if you probably didn't watch the series, Tebs. I know you didn't watch that much New Japan, but we did watch a match at Madison Square Garden. Ibushi and Naito would have matches where it's like they were hell bent on you being squeamish and dropping each other on the heads. And it was a bit like that for me. I fucking love it. Do you know what I mean? People are like, oh, protect your head. I don't give a fuck. The wrestlers, go and hurt yourself for my enjoyment. That's what I'm here for.
But yeah, Ospreay, I just keep running out of things to say about him. Outstanding. Best wrestler. He's best wrestler in the world right now. Easily.
I think ever for me. Ever. Better than Danielson. And I love Danielson.
And how old's Ospreay now?
30. It's unbelievable.
30 year old. So we've probably got another solid 15 years out of him.
I don't know the way that he wrestles.
Yeah, I'm every time I see him, I'm just like, Will, for God's sake, man, just stop. You don't need to do every single. What did he say in his post match? Who were there to win titles? Retire Billy Gunn and get a Nando's some sponsorship.
Oh, he's so lovable. He always has this rep of like, oh, he blackballed some bird on the British indie scene, and everyone like hated him. Fuck off. But he's fucking amazing. He's been the wrestler of the year every year for me for the last 5 or 6 years. He stole WrestleMania weekend every year. He's incredible. Now, the criticism was, yeah, he had these amazing matches, but could he do it on a big stage? Since then, he became New Japan's top three guys. He came into this promotion, Tebs. The crowd are going mental for him. He's coming out. They're all chanting for him. He now, this is what needs to happen. The way WWE booked Cody Rhodes when he came in, AEW need to do this. AEW need to not think, right, we've got 7 or 8 guys, whatever. We'll just go with Ospreay. You need a star that's going to appeal to the masses. Ospreay is that guy. You've done the damage with Kenny Omega. He's a bit injury prone now. That's done. You didn't achieve what you should have done in making Omega a megastar in your company. Yeah. He wasn't booked right. They came in the company with the attitude, like the Young Bucks did, of, oh, we'll put over other guys, like Cody did. He put over Jericho. Yeah. He put over him. Who didn't he put over, right?
Yeah.
He needs to come in. He needs to beat Danielson at this Dynasty pay-per-view, and I love Danielson. He needs to beat him clean. Yeah. Yep. He needs to go on. He needs to go to Wembley, win the title. I love Swerve. I want Swerve to be champion. He should be champion, but put that on ice. Get your best heel as the champion, maybe even Joe, if you want it to be Joe, but I would prefer it to be Hangman Page. I think Hangman Page should come back, win the title in a month or two. Go on to Wembley, defend it against a babyface Ospreay. You get that big moment in front of 50,000 fans, confetti, fireworks. Ospreay closes the show. You don't end the show with MJF and Adam Cole hugging each other. Fucking hell. You end it with that big moment. Bang, Ospreay is a star. He's the star. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I agree 100%. You put a rocket on him and fire him to the fucking moon. You're gonna have him go over Danielson on your. I mean, that Dynasty pay per view that's coming up. If it's a new pay per view, what better way than to have? So what's going to be on that? I think I was reading the other day, a couple of hours ago. You're gonna have the tag team tournament final probably.
Yeah.
You're gonna have Danielson versus Ospreay. It's looking like we're going to have probably Young Bucks, Okada maybe, Okada against Kingston.
Yeah, so it's going to be, it's looking like Okada against Kingston singles match.
Yeah.
Because Okada signaled that he was going for the belt. What a brilliant, I don't like praising AEW this much, I feel bad. So what better way to make your triple crown title so valuable by having Okada, the main guy from New Japan who carried the belt, he should beat Eddie Kingston and carry the Triple Crown. Do you know what I mean? That'd be perfect. So you've got Okada Kingston, Danielson against Ospreay. You can afford to have the B-level title defense. Joe should defend it against Wardlow, maybe. Yeah? So you've got those three.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks is going to be... Well, Mercedes Moné. Probably she's going to be facing Toni Storm, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And the pay-per-view's been named Dynasty, probably, unfortunately, because MJF's stable in MLW is called Dynasty. So it looks like he might be coming back. And I tell you what, if you're coming back, MJF, I don't want none of this bollocks, yeah? You're coming back now. It's not fucking story time with Adam Cole and all that bollocks. Keep all that to one side, yeah? As I said at the start of the show, we've got Ospreay, we've got Danielson, we've got Okada, we've got Omega. We don't need your shit now. If you want to fucking play with the big boys, it's time to deliver. None of this stupid storyline. If you want to do that, take your ball and go to WWE. I don't want that. His title reign sunk AEW for fans like me. And people say, oh, yeah, you're a minority. The crowd in the building were popping. Under MJF's title reign, we saw the crowds diminish. We saw the ratings drop.
Adam Cole's devil storyline was garbage. It was garbage. It was all seen coming a mile off. There was nothing. Everybody knew what were coming up, you know, and the people were talking about it. But just quickly going back, so Okada, Kingston, Triple Crown. So that's AEW, Continental, the Ring of Honor World, and the New Japan Strong. So is Okada going to win the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship? I thought he's done with the New Japan now.
They've just merged all three, haven't they, together?
So he'll still have it. So he'd go for all three. Because then that means, are we going to get
Kingston? That's a good point, actually, though.
Yeah. And are we going to get Kingston on the Ring of Honor Supercard defending the World Championship, or would he defend the Triple Crown?
Probably just defend the Triple Crown. I think what we'll do, Tebs, they'll just put him up against. It'll be a B-level defense, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. But I don't know. That show, I know, like, we're excited for it because
we're excited for it.
But it's a B-level show.
Oh,
but
yeah, yeah. No,
but going into these Ring of Honor shows, I always look at the cards and I'm like, but they're always great. They're always really good. Every Ring of Honor pay-per-view they've done since Khan took over has been good.
So what, come on then. We said Ospreay, Samoa Joe, triple threat. I've seen bits of this. Tell me about the finish and your opinion of it.
Well, the match itself suffered from following Ospreay and Takeshita, yeah? I think this match was... I was disappointed in this. This was your WWE triple threat match. It had the WWE triple threat finish of, like... I don't know. I was hoping for something a bit more clever than... So basically what happens is, right, Joe gets Hangman in his finish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman taps. I said that wrong. Joe gets Hangman in his finish. Hangman taps. Swerve can't get back in the ring. So they didn't really do like the clever finish, right? So like we've left the question, did Hangman tap on purpose? Do you know, like to get rid of Swerve? You know, like, to just cost Swerve the title, did Hangman tap quickly? But they didn't hammer that point home. It was almost like, look, we just want to get past this match. Like, they've just skipped past it now. Hangman Page has been suspended by the Young Bucks, yeah? So, like, it's just gone now. He's taken a bit of time off. Whereas what I would have liked to have seen was if Hangman tapped quick, which he did, it looked like he did, right? I wanted to see Swerve devastated, hands over his head. And if this was WWE, they probably would have done this, yeah? Hands over his head, camera on Swerve. Hangman would have looked gutted when he realised that he tapped out, yeah? But when he looks across the ring and he sees Swerve dejected and devastated, it should have gone to Hangman Page, who was just like happy with himself. But there was none of that. It was like, right, we don't really want to like do anything here. Let's just beat Hangman and move on and not talk about it. And it's been brushed under the carpet. So I was disappointed with that. I went three stars for that match for me. Osprey Takeshita was 4.75. So that's a big, big difference. But, Tebs, what I want to talk about. Overall, I think this pay-per-view for me was one of the best AEW pay-per-views. Top three. I know you've only watched two or three matches from it.
Yeah.
This main event. Now, I know you didn't watch it in the best environment. I'm going to start this. I gave it 4.5 stars, yeah? But I wanted to give it 5. It is one of my favorite matches of all time. And I'm not even that big of a Sting fan. I like Sting. Oh, my God. I was getting ready to start, and I was like, it's like 3:30 in the morning here. I absolutely loved it. They had Sting sat in the cinema, the theater, watching his career. And you sat watching it thinking, ooh. This is like what Sting's life is going to be like from tomorrow. This is all he'll have, the memories. They brought his sons out, which must be a great moment for him, dressed as his old characters. The match starts going. The Darby Allin spot. If you come on here and you do, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's fucking wrestling. Of course it's dangerous. Do you know what I mean?
Showed it to a guy at work. There's three guys who sit around me at work, right? And all of them take the piss out of wrestling. It's fake. They love winding me up. Oh, it's fake. It's all scripted. Yeah. And they just know it gets to me because they fucking know it's not fake. They know it's not fake. But then I showed him the Darby Allin spot going through the glass. And he goes, oh, it's fake glass. I went, it's glass. And I went, and then I showed him the picture of his back bleeding. And he goes, oh, because you can't get fake blood. And I'm like, so in front of 25,000 people or however many it was, they just ran over and started squirting fake blood all over his back and hoping nobody had noticed. It's fucking dangerous. And you know what? I appreciate it. I don't like the Young Bucks. I said it. I don't like them. Don't like the matches. Don't like
great in this match.
Don't like the style. Yes. Reluctantly, yes, they were great in this match. I didn't like, I said to you at first, I'm like, is it a fucking 4-on-2? I just didn't get how suddenly these Young Bucks matches always start, even if it's a straight tag match, it always turns into a tornado tag. That happens with Young Bucks every frigging week. They just get in and there's no count in a five and the double team. There's no tag team rules. But I'm more of an FTR guy than a Young Bucks guy. But through it all, as the spots got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the focus of it all, Darby was taking his bumps. He was doing the big bumps and sort of being laid out to give Sting the focus of the match. Yeah. It was laid out so well that Sting got the big pops, he got the fight back moments, they had to double team him, threw some glass in the ring. At one point, I think they put him through the table and then he just popped straight back up behind him. And it's such a great moment. The whoever produced the match, I think it was Sting. Was it Sting and the Bucks and... there was somebody else who were planning it as well, and it was laid out so well. Like I say, I didn't watch it in the best environment, but it's probably the best Young Bucks match I've ever seen.
I've got some Young Bucks matches for you. So I think the pricks, I don't like them, but this new gimmick's working, and I think they're amazing in ring workers. I know you disagree, but I think they're amazing in ring workers. But I don't like them. See, I'm punk, but I just thought, Tebs, it was just like, so he just made it. Like you said, Darby got his spot. What do we do? Do we just do WWE style and him charge into a barricade and he's out of the match for 10 minutes? I wanted to, do you know what? I said I had some points I wanted to make and I'd forgotten what they were because it was that long ago. And what I've just been talking about has reminded me of it, right? So you've got Sting in his retirement match with Darby Allin against the Young Bucks, yeah? Okay. Right, they took Darby Allin out, and all the spotlight was on Sting. And like you said, double super kick, he no-sold it. He got up off the table, EVP trigger, 1-2, kicked out. He did it again, and I thought, oh my God, he's done, he's lost. And he kicked out again, and everything was just perfect. I'll never forget Sting when he's going like that, when he's got him in the Scorpion Deathlock at the end, the spots, I was up. I was, honestly, no matter what happened, this will be my favourite match of this year. It's exactly why pro wrestling, better than football, better than anything. I fucking love it. This is why, for matches like this, where you've got a 64-year-old guy, yeah, doing stuff like this in front of a 16,000 packed house, screaming for him. It was amazing. Amazing. I love this match. I love it, right? Anyway, so this is what I wanted to compare. So you've got that, yeah? And then you've got, it's not a retirement version, but it's a version. I went to WrestleMania in New Orleans, Tebs, and it was Daniel Bryan's return 2 years mm-hmm. before he yeah. was forced to retire. We never thought we'd see him again, yeah? And he came back, and it was massive. It was everywhere. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to this WrestleMania where Daniel Bryan's returning. And I think they had him team up with Shane O'Mac.
It's Shane against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, right? So that should be an incredible match, yeah? Right? So AEW, that was all about Daniel Bryan, that match, yeah? This match was all about Sting. Darby Allin took himself out, okay? And it was all about Sting coming back and fighting back. Could he do it? Yes, he could. The WWE version, what did they do? Everyone was there. Daniel Bryan's big return. And what did WWE do? Oh, let's just make him think that Daniel Bryan's injured. So we'll take Daniel Bryan out of the match that everyone's there to see. And for 10 minutes, we'll watch Shane McMahon in a handicap match against Owens and Zayn. And it killed the crowd. And WWE thought, oh, it'll get this big monster pop when he comes running back. And it didn't. The fans had 2 years of him taken out. They didn't want to see that. It but should have been Shane up.
Do you not think that was them protecting him, though, as well? His first match back.
No, no.
Do you not think that was also a way of getting him out of the match for a while and just easing him back into things?
No,
if he'd been out with concussions and neck injuries and what have you.
No. The next month, they had him against Big Cass. He was one of the worst workers in the company at the time. They didn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
Vince would have been delighted if Bryan injured himself. Anyway, right? So what should have happened in that match was, let's have Shane McMahon, who does crazy spots. He's right there. Shane and Darby, quite similar in that aspect.
Yeah.
Have Shane McMahon fall off something big, take himself out of the match, and Bryan has to fight back. He's getting beaten on, and he comes back and wins, and that would have all been perfect. But know what happened? Daniel Bryan, the crowd were quiet. And do you know what? Until I even thought about that match, when I think of that WrestleMania in New Orleans, that match doesn't even come into my head that it happened. And that was the biggest thing going into it, the Daniel Bryan return.
That was the big. I can't think of anything else.
But yeah, fucking love this match. Honestly, so for me, it just depends how you. Osprey Takeshita is for me the best wrestling match I've seen this year. And then you've got Sting retirement match, which is my favorite match. And they were so close. But hang on, I'm getting cues. I need to go home. And the pay per view cut off, and I was like, no, why? We were so close. I was fuming, I'll be honest with you. But I've rewatched the match back and the match was excellent. So, but
right.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If you remember a few weeks ago when Sting and Darby Allin won the tag titles and people were saying there, he's retiring in a few weeks. Why have you given him the titles? Because his last match against the Bucks, you now know, we know that he's going to lose because he's the champion and they always go out, champions always go out on the back. And I think it's almost genius that Tony Khan put the titles on him to make everyone believe in typical wrestling tropes that the legend goes out on his back and he can't, you know, he's bound to lose the titles, but you can't keep them and just give them up, can you? So to spin all that around and have him win, it shows how unpredictable AEW is compared to WWE.
Yeah,
regardless of what happened to WWE, if this were WWE, it'd have lost that match.
Yeah,
he'd have lost that match. Yeah,
it'd have been Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
losing to Baron Corbin.
Yeah, or Flair losing, or anyone. The legend goes out on his back. And I was reading today that Sting wanted that. He wanted the Bucks to go over, and it was the Bucks and I think Tony Khan saying, "No, you're going to win. Yeah. This is about you going out, retiring from wrestling as a champion."
Yeah,
and. Yeah, even WWE were commenting on the match, so.
Yeah, and I was surprised. It was good
during
to hear. I actually quite like that.
Yeah, it's Triple H saying, we acknowledge that the thing goes on outside of our universe. And
yeah,
it's business at end of day. Because one day Triple H is going to want to phone Sting and say, do you want to come back and be a manager? Or do you want to come back and just do a Raw 50th anniversary or something? And he'll need legends to keep being able to phone. So you got to stay on the good side of him. Big Show and Mark Henry and all them going to AEW, Triple H will still be speaking to me. Well, I don't think there's any of that kind of animosity there, because Triple H also knows that he needs to be able to bring his Hall of Famers back as these callback episodes and all this shit. But AEW, I think, has done Sting a massive service by respecting him and respecting his career and giving him a send-off. And I think if he'd have lost that match, I don't think people would have been talking about it as much. I think they'd still have enjoyed the match, but it wouldn't have had the zing on top. And that's him winning.
A legendary match. It made it a legendary match, that result, didn't it? But yeah, that's a revolution. Yeah, great pay-per-view. I loved it. There was bits where it was... You get in AEW shows. I would like him to do a bit more like video packages. Tebs, the first match, Christian pinned Garcia, and next it's Eddie Kingston against Bryan. I'm thinking, oh, this feud's been really good for months or whatever. And I didn't have time to watch the Countdown show, okay? So I'm thinking, I wanted to watch that Countdown show. I said I didn't have time. I watched 3 hours of Cody Rhodes documentary before. But when it finished, I thought, right, I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to get one of them large iced Frappuccino coffees. Have you ever had one from there?
Yeah, lovely.
So I get to the McDonald's, right? I click it on the thing, collect. Basically, you're going to laugh at this. I couldn't go through the drive-thru. My window won't wind down on my driver's side. Right? So I have to go in now. I have to communicate with actual grubby people who go in McDonald's. No offense to anyone who goes in McDonald's. I love it, right? Anyway. So
says the guy who was in McDonald's at the time. Yeah.
So I click the thing, collect whatever. And I'm thinking, for fuck's sake, they need to hurry up here. Been like 6 minutes. There's just me in at this point. And I'm like, fucking hell. So it just says there, making or whatever, your number 49, whatever it was, 12 minutes. I'm thinking, oh my God, seriously, I could have been watching this Countdown show. So my order goes off the board. It just went off. It didn't say collect. So I went, excuse me, mate. I was like, I've ordered a large Frappuccino, So actually, I tell you what, I got a meal, because these saver meals, you might as well get the food. I didn't even want the food. You might as well get the food at like an extra £1. So I'm thinking, I fucking got this just because it was cheap. I don't even want the chips or the burger, right? I didn't want it. And then I'm like, oh. So he's like, oh, yeah. Sorry about that, mate. Just give us 5 minutes. I'm not joking. I was in McDonald's for about 20 minutes. I was fuming.
Just for a coffee. Fuck that.
I was that annoyed, right? I wound down the passenger's window and I was just picking up the chips and launching them out the window. Anyway, but yeah, I missed the Countdown show. And then they didn't even do a video package before Kingston Danielson. This feud for 4 months, no recap or anything. I was like, oh, so 40 seconds later, we're just watching the match, are we?
Do you think this could have pay-per-view, if you'd have taken out Roderick Strong against Orange Cassidy and filled in that remaining time with video packages? Because it seems they want to cram as much wrestling in as possible, that it's catering to the people that know what's going on. That it's almost like casual fans are a secondary thought. They are supplying to the hardcore fans that know what's happening. So that's why they don't bother putting video packages on, because you know what's happening. So I think, and WWE appeals to those people because they want casual fans to tune in and stay watching. But WWE's promotion production values are so much better than AEW.
Yeah,
but if they just add, you know, just that little bit more attention to the story and got us buying into that story, and you hire some guys who can make video packages that, you know, like WWE are geniuses at doing that. But you got them for AEW.
The video packages, they're all right. The Countdown shows are brilliant. But the thing is, so picture you're in this arena, yeah? I experienced this at Wembley, right? And I complained about it there. So you're in this arena, you've just watched Christian beat Daniel Garcia, yeah? And then you're like, bang, right, so Eddie Kingston Danielson are coming out, right? I've been at live WrestleManias, and when they put the video package on of the feud, when it finishes, the crowd are like, wait, you know, like the old cheer at the end of the video package. It hypes up that the match is coming. Yeah. And it puts in the crowd's, do you know what I mean? In your thoughts of the of your viewer, what's happened, and it's all fresh. But it really winds me up. They
That happened at Wembley. I'm almost sure. Yeah, it did. One of the matches finished, and I was chatting to you, and I turned around, and music's playing on next guy coming to the ring. And it's just like, just slow down. Let us go for a piss. Put some adverts on. You know, about the 80,000 people sat here.
They go too far. I'd like a happy medium between both.
Yeah. WWE, they had the Elimination Chamber. We had two fucking adverts for Visit Perth. We had some Slim Jims adverts. We had a charity commercial. And then about another video package to advertise Raw next week. There's too much. Was it between one of the matches? There was about 50 minutes.
Yeah. They'll randomly throw in like a 10-minute bio with like Natalya or something. It's like, fuck off. Fuck Natalya. I can't stand her.
Titus O'Neil has been visiting these schools this week. And you're like, I don't care. I really don't care, Titus. You're a nice guy, but fuck off. You just reminded me when you were saying how pissed off you were at McDonald's the day. You want to know how pissed off I've been this week? I was walking outside Aldi the other night. There's an Aldi over the road from my house. I was walking outside there, and there was a woman with a kid. The kid must have been about 6. And she goes, do you want to give that to the homeless man? On the floor, covered in cider and vomit, whatever, was the homeless guy, who was obviously a homeless guy. And then there was me stood there, just finished from work, maybe a bit unkept. The kid turns around, looks at me, and looks at the homeless guy, the guy laying on the floor, you know, covered in pigeon shit. And then he looks at me, and he reaches out to give me the fucking coin. And I'm just staring at him like, I was just speechless. And she's like, no, no, love, this man. And I'm like, do I look like a fucking... Oh, no. I was stood there. I'd just come from work, and I'm like, I work in an office. It's not like I work down bit. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Oh, I was raging, man. I was raging.
You should have just gone, boo.
Get over it. It's like when I mentioned to somebody who came around the other day, he goes, you're looking well, man. I says, oh, yeah, cheers. I've been trying to lose some weight. He goes, good for you, man. I says, yeah, I'm going to the gym. He goes, well, you're never too old to start that.
Just what you want to hear.
You're never too old. I'm 40
years
old.
Like 60-year-olds and stuff, isn't it?
Nah, not the one I go to.
Is it? Maybe
an extra stunt. No. Mine's filled with people who still have dreams.
Ambition. I'm annoyed I work quick enough to make a pervert joke when you said not the one I go to.
Oh, no, I was going to make one, and then I realised this is going on YouTube. But no, it's absolutely fantastic, and I don't see anybody else there.
What was I going to say? Right, Salter.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I will tell you one quick thing from the gym the other day. I was on treadmill, and there was a young lad next to me. Must have been about 17. Big, podgy lad like me, you know, fucking ginger hair or whatever. And this mid-20s lady in yoga pants got on the stepper in front of us. And I'm stood there like, don't look. And I sort of look around, and I just look at the kid next to me, and he's just staring right at her ass. And then he looks up at me like that. And he just had this moment where he looked and got, I've got caught for the first time.
Fucking hell.
That's remember what our gyms.
I used to go to the same gym as G, right? And jeez. G always used to eat sweets before he went to the gym. I don't know why.
Yeah, what was that? What was energy. That about?
Do you remember, right? So anyway, I'm at the gym one day, right? And I'm sat there, and I'm just on a machine. I looked on the floor next to me. I thought some scruff has just left a big plastic container of sweets with still some sweets in it. And I sat there, and I put on my story on Snapchat. I put, why do I get the feeling this might be G's? G pops up. Fucking hell, I wondered what I'd done with that. It's like, for fuck's sake.
It's almost as bad as when he was on the New York subway eating a tuna salad. I'm surprised we didn't get shot. I'm like, G, cover it up, mate. Can we have it when we get off the train? No, I'm hungry. He's eating this stinking tuna. And the whole carriage, and there's like a family of Koreans staring over at us, and there's two guys down there who were giving us daggers, and I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be eating on the train, and he's just eating this fucking tuna, man.
Tebs, what he said was, it weren't actually that. It was like, sorry, I was in a rush. That was what he said. So it's like when you just left your sweets on the floor. Oh, speaking of that, I remember me and Neil on the fucking New York things. You know, you're not meant to drink on them, are you? Me and him just sat there with a can of beer. And I'm saying to Neil, why are all these people staring at us? Fuck your brown paper bags, you soft cunts. Fucking hell.
It's like when before you learnt jaywalking was a crime and you went walking around outside Madison Square Garden just through traffic going, we walk where we want.
We're from England. We walk where we want.
It's like, yeah, crossing the road away from a crossing is fucking a crime over there. How ridiculous is that?
I know they're allowed to shoot a fucking school full of children. That's fine. But you can't cross a fucking road.
I don't think they are allowed to do that, you know, Dan. They've got laws against that as well. They do. It's not like they do that as part of, you know, your GCSEs or something. Shoot up a school.
If they're that bothered about it, don't fucking sell guns then, you knobheads. What was I going to say?
That is a whole other argument. So, wrestling.
WWE, have you got anything to say on WWE before we wrap up? I mean, there was the Rock promo, the great Instagram one. There was the one on SmackDown, this dude, my head in. They talked for 40 minutes. I don't care. Good. It's the Rock and Roman Reigns. Let them talk for 2 hours. Do you know what I mean? Right. I enjoyed it.
SmackDown. Roman Reigns coming out, gradually getting more and more frustrated with the crowd. They're not respecting him. They're not appreciating him. They're not acknowledging him. He says, I'm leaving. We're leaving. Let's go. And he gets undermined by The Rock because he wasn't allowed to leave. He had to wait until The Rock turns up. The Rock cuts a fantastic promo. Just as we're about to get it, Roman says, you've got to acknowledge me. Reluctantly, he does.
That was a great moment.
That was a great moment. He just stops his
hand. Loved it, loved it.
And then he lets him finish it. He lets Roman finish it. There's a turn coming one way or the other. Absolute poetry. That's like, people want to know why I love watching wrestling. Watch that. That story, that promo, that's history, that's all together. Yeah, fantastic. Then on Monday night...
Are we on about Sting? Are we on about Rock and Roman?
No, I'm on about Rock and Roman. But then on Monday, we get Seth and Cody come out, and their biggest talking point of that is Diarrhea Dwayne. That is 2019 WWE. Seth Rollins calling Rock Diarrhea Dwayne. It's toilet humor. It's Vince McMahon humor. That was a Vince joke all over. And that just, it takes you back out of it. And it just says to me more that Seth Rollins does not need, the same way Charlotte Flair didn't need to be part of that triple threat when we went in for WrestleMania 35, Rollins does not need to be part of this story. He's got a story with Drew. Go and have that story. There doesn't need to be an extra cog in this machine other than to have a tag match on night one.
I think he signed his own death warrant with that promo because I think that will stay in the mind of fans, and I think he will get turned on in the match. Unless he does some miraculous performance on night one, I think he'll get turned on in that match with Drew. I really do. I really, really do. I tell you what, I sent a post on Twitter, Tebs, and this made more sense. So instead of that, why did they have Seth back up Cody, right? Because Seth's got already got a title match. Why didn't they just think logically? How much better would it have been if it had been The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Randy Orton? You had it there. Yeah. Cody and Orton. Rock against Orton. Do you know what I mean? You had it
Orton's,
there.
Orton's got
Roman
beef
Reigns
against...
put Orton out.
It were there. I'm glad they didn't bring Jay into it. They could have had Jay and Cody because they've tagged in the past.
I think in the main event of Mania, you'll have everyone. If it's Bloodline rules, you know, like last year they had it. I think you'll have Jay in there, Jimmy. I think Owens and Zayn might even make it. Everyone that, if Roman loses at Mania, everyone's going on about, Stone Cold will come out. I think what they'll do, everybody that's had a key role in the whole storyline along the way will appear in that match.
It's that kind of Avengers moment. This is your finale. If you think about every stage show and what?
He said it's that kind of Avengers moment. And I said, what?
No,
shit.
But it's where it all comes together at the end. Yeah. And if they write it properly, this is Bloodline Rules. This is the Bloodline versus Cody. And it's going to be one of them. I know you don't like it, I know you don't like the thought of other people coming out to help Cody, but there's going to be somewhat along the lines of, because it's going to be Bloodline rules, because you have to give...
I don't mind that.
Rock and
it was just if it was The Rock. I don't want The Rock to do it. I want...
No, I'm
I
talking...
The Rock in a match, not...
No, I think that second night, it's Roman against Cody, and you're going to have all the Bloodline are going to be lumberjacks. You know what I mean? They're going to be outside the ring. They're going to be getting involved in Bloodline rules. And like you say, I remember when I first got back into watching Attitude WWE, it was around the time Undertaker was sacrificing Stephanie and he had her tied to the cross in the ring. And Ken Shamrock came running out to try and save the day and he couldn't. Then Big Show came running out and he got beaten down by all his minions. And then the glass shatters and Stone Cold comes out and he clears house. And it's going to be, I think it's that kind of moment where, like you say, Kevin Owens and Sammy are going to come out because they've been involved. Cena has been there, Randy Orton. And then they're going to be the ones who are going to weaken the surrounding to enable to Cody have his end of his Star Wars moment. Go ahead, kid. Coast is clear now. Finish it. And it'll be one-on-one, final combat. Everyone's been taken care of outside. The scores are even. And Cody will win clean in the middle of the ring with no help. And it's a great story. And if they can do that right, even if they're fucking... They were talking of Dustin Rhodes coming back. Old Goldust strapping up and coming back and getting involved in his brother's corner. They've got all the pieces there to make something amazing. And Seth keeps ruining it with diarrhea, Dwayne.
Do you know what's crazy? You know, from watching that Cody documentary, this is going to be a big U-turn. From watching that, the playlist, it sort of made me... I feel like now it wasn't a case of... I feel like he sort of got let down by Tony Khan. So part of me is, I need to send you this backstage interview. It made me feel sorry for him. But he's that good of a worker. He's probably a work, but it worked with me anyway. Yeah. But a part of me kind of wants to see Cody. If Cody Rhodes fans weren't as fucking annoying as they were, I would be, I want to see him hold the title at the end. Like, but it's just like, do you know what annoys me as well? All these people that love Cody probably fucking hate AEW, do you know what I mean?
No, they'll hate AEW because they have to, because they support WWE. That's why. They don't want to hate AEW because of the talent or Tony Khan or the fans. They'll hate AEW because that's what they're supposed to do. That's the movement. They're fans. They're Swifties, so they can't support any other music artists because they're Swifties. They're, Liverpool fans, so God forbid you support any other team. That's true. Okay, that's a bad example. But I can't support them. I watch Marvel, so I'm not going to watch any of DC. DC shit. I hate DC. I hate Batman. I love Batman and Superman. Marvel shit. That's pathetic. That's for kids. You can like both. You can like AEW. You can like WWE.
Which I do. WWE's the best it's been. I think it's overrated, but it's the best it's been in 6 or 7 years for me. So enjoy it.
We need to find somewhere to watch Dynamite in Philly.
Yeah, I suppose. Thing is, though, will bars be showing it? I don't think they will they?
I'll be honest with you, I've emailed about three today, asking them if they're going to put it on.
class,
I've found a little Irish bar in Virginia that's going to put Raw on a TV for me. They've already told me I'm going to go to this little bar in Virginia near where I'm staying in Washington. She says, I'll put Raw on a TV for you. You can have some wings and all that. I'm like, all right, fucking cheers, love.
Tebs, we're getting close, Tebs. We're getting close. Oh, no, getting excited.
I feel like I should be buying travel insurance and things like that. And I always leave that to the last
minute. Need to sort my Esther out. Fucking hell.
You've been riding me then. But everything's done now. SIM cards are bought, travel adapters.
I've ordered the SIM card.
Boom. Yeah. So we're going to be there. Got my video camera ready. Boom, boom. Shoot. Shit. Maybe. Hope I don't lose
it. Quick update, Look out for the stickers. There's going to be logos. Our logo, I've ordered 192 stickers, that are coming. So if you see the podcast logo, PCB, WrestlePod, if you see it, give us a shout out on Twitter. We're going to be doing a daily vlog, whatever you want to call it.
Vlog.
We're doing a daily one of those, Probably 5 to 10 minutes or something. I was planning maybe while we're there, Tebs, on like our phones, just recording a little bit of audio or something briefly. You know, like, I thought if we do it when we get back, the podcast.
No, I'll do it over there.
Yeah, it's a week after, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It'd be cooler to do that.
I'll be jet lagged for about a week and a half afterwards. I'll be good for nobody. So yeah, let's do it while we're there.
Yeah. So that'll be great.
If anybody finds a sticker in Philly, I'll buy him a pint if I meet him. Think I can afford 192 pints?
I'm trying
don't
to
you just stick one in the middle of WrestleMania symbol or something? I'm going to buy everybody a beer.
I'll probably end up getting a bit carried away, shoving one on a police car and end up getting arrested or something.
I'll have to like just write down the address of the apartment on like your inner arm or something, just in case. Just if found, please return here. We'll be good.
What's the plans for like you said we're going to talk about plans, might as well. I don't mind it being on record. Right.
So,
By the way, if you're like going to try and murder us on the show up at this location, if you're going to do it, just wait till after WrestleMania. So if we've gone all that way, we can at least watch.
Let us get WrestleMania out the way first. Yeah. So we're going to.
We're good for the taking at Raw.
Raw. First hour. Get the first hour out of the way. Dark matches. Get to the dark matches. They're all shit. In fact, just don't murder us. Don't murder us. No. Wednesday, get into Philly. I get into Philly, meet you Wednesday. Watch Dynamite. That's about the plan at the minute. Thursday. See, I want to do the Rocky statue. You got to do the Rocky statue and the Rocky steps. We're going up the Rocky steps.
Is it better in the daylight or at night?
I'm guessing daylight, because then you can see it. I don't know if how lit up it is at night. But it's only that's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. We need to do WWE World at WrestleMania. You can't say that after a few beers. WWE at WrestleMania World. Yeah, we're going there.
Friday? Is that Friday?
Thursday. Well, no, this is the thing. So Friday's... I can't remember who they haven't even announced. They've announced sort of Charlotte Flair's going to be there Saturday. Seth's there Friday. I think, was Cody there Saturday?
Cody's Thursday. But my problem is with it, Tebs, if we go on the Thursday, it starts at 12, not at 10, yeah? Right? Yeah. I think by the time, like, you don't just get in at 12. I've been there where, like, you've been queuing outside for 45 minutes, and then you're going to get there at 1, yeah? You get in at 1, get settled down. And then before you know it, we're going to have to be leaving for Bloodsport. Whereas I'm thinking the Friday, we get there for 10. Do you know what I mean? It gives you all
doors
day
open,
until
get
Ring
there.
Of Honor.
Yeah, yeah. Fine by me. Yeah.
So I think that'd probably be better.
Do that on the Friday. Thursday, Bloodsport, and then WrestleCon. But I am trying to convince you to go to Midget Mania. You really not.
Will go. If they book Hornswoggle and Selena Vega against each other in the main event, I'll go.
Well, Selena Vega, come on, she's not. Give over. These are real mini people. What, dwarfs? Mini dwarfs.
Midgets.
Yeah, midgets. I think they call them midgets. Anyway, I'm going to convince you to do it. If you don't, but then again, WrestleCon. Look, if Matt Riddle gets a decent match at WrestleCon, I'm there. If not, I'm going to try and get you to midgets. And then Friday access, Friday night Ring of Honor. And then I'm getting you pissed and we're doing karaoke.
You know that's not going to happen.
I'm getting you pissed. It's happening.
I am not going to be hungover for WrestleMania.
You won't be. You'll still be drunk.
No, I'm not. There's no way you will get that. So.
It's going to be a joyous occasion. You're going to.
I don't enjoy. Wrestling to me is not something mixed with drink.
No, but you don't know because the WrestleMania is the following day. Philadelphia has something called the City Special. It's a lager and a shot of whiskey for about $5, right? I don't drink lager, and I'm not going to waste it, so you can have the lager. So there we go. There's a compromise.
I might have two or three. That's me.
There
that's
we
me
go.
No, I'll have two or three while we're like out and about, but I'm not drinking at the wrestling shows.
No, not at the shows. Not genuinely not at the shows, because I want to remember them this time. And then Saturday, NXT.
Yeah, NXT, yeah. For the sake, Tebs, of paying like 30, 40 quid, whatever it is, I'm just classing that as my daily allowance. You know, like, I'm going to spend it out of my spending money to go to that. We'll just get it at the time.
Right, I'll be totally honest, right? If I go WrestleMania Saturday starts at 6:30. Now, there'll be shitloads going on. There's loads of bars in that area. There's loads of tailgate parties and all that. I know I'll get pissed. And by about 6, 7 o'clock at night, I'll be sobering up and feel like shit. So I'm quite happy to go into NXT and not drink and pace myself for the day. Plus, a couple of hours wrestling at 12, then you've got a bit of a gap and it's kind of a warm-up, isn't it? It gets you in the mood. And so, yeah. I'm excited for that. Sunday?
There's like a few... Like you said, there's a few tailgate. I think there's a few pog. And I was looking at, I don't know if you listen to What Culture.
Yeah, I sent you the link.
When?
Is theirs on? I sent you a link for theirs. Is it on the Saturday?
It's the Sunday at dinner time, I think.
I'm up for that.
So I might go for, I don't, it's just tough, isn't it? Because like, I remember the day of WrestleMania at 35 and there was a lot of waiting around. I don't want that this time. I want,
I'd be,
do you know
I'd
what I mean?
I'd be up for that. What's it called again? I can't remember the name of it.
What Culture?
I know it's What Culture, but there's the name of the show that they're doing.
I don't know.
I'll find out, but yeah. It's all Simon Miller and everyone like that's going to be on it.
I prefer. What are they called? Michael Hamflett and the other guy. I like listening to them.
Yeah, I got a great book by one of them, actually. Is it Matthew Sedgwick?
Yeah, he's really good.
Basically, how he wrote a book, how AEW came to be, and it goes through the history of basically how WWE came about, where New Japan was by about 2014, 2015. I'm literally still working my way through, and it's going into Kenny Omega and the books, and then it goes into the announcement with All In and the first All In, and it talks to you. So it's going through all that as a deep dive into AEW. Really interesting, really good.
All right, class. Yes, we will go to that then.
Yeah. Spot on. Monday, I'll be honest, I'll be happy to mooch.
Yeah, I think Monday, the days, Monday and Tuesday, the days, see, we've not even thought about, oh no, we're going home Tuesday, aren't we? But Monday, we can like go and have a mooch into, like, we'll do all that boring tourism shit Monday. You know, we'll go into a shopping centre or something.
I'd just walk around town. There's going to be plenty to see. Oh, here we go. It's always sunny at What Culture. The gang go to WrestleMania.
Okay. What time is it, though? Because I don't like it if it's too late and we're, like, missing the
12 till
start.
3. 12
oh,
till
that's
3.
That's perfect.
And it's 15 minutes away from Lincoln Field.
Ah, yeah, we'll go to that, then.
Yep, sound. Monday.
How many minutes?
15, it says. So call it half an hour, even an hour for traffic. You're still going to be 2 hours early.
I wonder if Meltzer and that are doing something. I don't think they are. I've not heard anything.
There's a website I had that were listing them all off, but I couldn't. I know there's a few. There was one, I think, what's his name? Bully Ray were doing one. Can't remember. I don't think Jericho will be.
No. But yeah. No. Yeah, so yeah.
We'll do that.
Should
that
be good.
Like a...
Caught. I'm do you know what podcast I'm excited to do with you? When we actually preview the show.
Oh god, yeah. When we know the matches and stuff, we're gonna do the predictions, we're gonna do everything.
Yeah, we'll do that. The thing is that it could change though, because you've got to bear in mind, but when we do the preview show, you go on the Saturday before. So we'll be doing the preview show at the latest the Thursday. So there'll be two more SmackDowns and one more Raw. So you don't even know what. So we can do. We'll be doing a lot of content while we're there anyway.
Well, we're behind the scenes now. So I get there Saturday. Then there's Raw on Monday, which I'll be watching. And you'll be watching from there, won't you? Because you'll be in Philly by then, won't you?
I get to Philly at about 7 or 8, I think.
Right, okay. And then the Friday night. But we'll be at Ring of Honor and just watch SmackDown when we get back. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll figure it. All gravy.
So, you're welcome for being able to listen to us talk about our plans.
Yeah,
we're
doing those plans. We need to sort out what we're doing after airport and stuff, but we won't go into that much detail with you. I'm going to get a taxi down. No, I've been planning everything in Washington.
Yeah,
there's just too much. There's just too much, man. But yeah,
I'm going. I'm missing all their museums. Devastated.
No, listen, I'll do the museum shit in Washington and get it out of my system. The Philadelphia stuff, right? There's stuff to go and look at, but it's literally I could walk through it and go, oh, I've seen it. I'm not that bothered about going. I had a look today at one of the museums I was looking at going, and it was just, I was seeing pictures for a minute, and I'm there thinking, I'm bored just looking at the pictures. So I don't know how you, Dan, are going to be inside the building. So I'm like, I think there's a whole lot more. There's a lot more cheesesteaks I can eat than going into
Yeah,
into
you'll see plenty of
Revolutionary War.
videos of us eating
Oh,
cheesesteaks.
yeah, TikTok, the Movie Chef podcast, at Pod Movie Chef. I've got a TikTok account, and I'm going to be doing a TikTok of all the food that I eat in Philly. And I'm hoping there's not many of them because I am on a diet, but it is going to be good.
You're gonna have to knock it on the head while we're there. Although, if you eat too much, it can sort of make you a bit sluggish, I think, sometimes. So, I will be eating in moderation.
I'm going to eat all the
But
food. I'm going to eat all the food.
is pizza good in Philly? I know there's Chicago, New York. What's Philly pizza? What?
People say Philly's good at, people have said go to D'Alessandro's for pizza, for D'Alessandro's for pizza, D'Alessandro's for cheesesteaks. They've said Gino's and Pat's are like touristy areas rather than where the locals go. And just round sort of about 5 or 10 blocks away from where we are, there's like a famous hoagie shop, like a big deli sandwich place. So if you like, if you want to get a big ass sandwich, there's that place to go to. So,
How about the place that
Philadelphia.
sell triangle slices of pizza? You know, like we went to in New York. They've got some cracking ones in Benidorm. They're probably better than the New York ones, to be honest. I'm
Yeah,
serious.
Benidorm Pizza is definitely better
I'm
than New
telling you.
York. Right,
I'm telling
stop
you.
it. We're
I've
done.
sampled
We're done.
both.
We're done.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.